If you want to get your Bibles and turn to 2 John, almost at the end of the Bible there. It's just one of John's letters. And
it's there.
We'll start by reading the whole of 2 John. I'm reading from the NIV, so some of you may have slightly different wording if you're using different versions. The elder, to the chosen lady and her children whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. Now, certainly in the NIV, there's one word that is mentioned five times there. Can anybody spot which one it is? Truth. Thank you. Is that you, Francis? Truth. Yes, truth. It's all right. We're not in school. Yeah, okay. Truth. What does the dictionary say about truth? Well, my dictionary says truth is the quality of being true, genuine or factual. Second definition, a proven or verified fact or principle. What does true mean? What does the dictionary say about the word true? Real or genuine, accurate or precise. My colleague Wendy hasn't been in work last week, and she doesn't expect to be in work this coming week, because she got that dream service. Yeah, she was a bit nervous about it. But she found it quite interesting. But there's one phrase that she will have heard at least once this week. Can anybody tell me what that is?
Truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Not as I think it was John Alderton once did in some comedy show years ago, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and everything but the truth. But it's nothing but the truth. Okay. So she'll have heard that. I know she's sat on at least one case, so she'll have heard that once at least this week. The opposite of truth is a lie. Okay. Interestingly, there were more definitions of lie than truth in my dictionary. It's a Collins dictionary, so it's a fairly decent dictionary. This is what it says about lie. To speak untruthfully with the intention of deceiving, or to convey a false impression, or an untrue statement deliberately intended to deceive, or something that is deliberately intended to deceive. So think about those definitions of truth and true and lie. And you can see there's poles apart, 180 degrees apart from each other. So today I want to be talking mostly about the truth. And kind of what I've got to say is a few sort of random things that have come to me, so that if it sounds like I'm rambling on a bit, it's just abstract thoughts and things that have come to me over the week. So I'm hoping it will make sense by the end. So thinking about lies, I was in the car probably last week, Radio 5, and the news came on, and there's a little snippet about Plebgate. And for those of you who don't know, it's all about these police officers and cabinet minister, and they've tried to bring him down and things like that, and who said what about him trying to take his bicycle through the gate at the end of 10 Downing Street, all that kind of thing. And one of the police officers said, and I can't remember exactly word for word what he said, but it was along the lines of, "I didn't set out to intentionally lie." Think about that. I didn't set out to intentionally lie. Okay, let's go back to just one of those definitions of lies. To speak untruthfully with the intention of deceiving. But he's saying he didn't set out to do that deliberately. Now, you can give out false information because you've been fed the wrong information, you pass it on, and it sounds like you're lying, but, you know, no fault on your part if you haven't got the right information and it's a genuine mistake. But here, I didn't set out to intentionally lie. Okay, so there we go. Despite what he said, he did something deliberately. You know, thinking lies is all around us, isn't it? Think of much of what goes on television. There's even a program called Would I Lie to You? Has anybody seen that at all? Yes, I've not watched the whole program. It's kind of switch on the television for something else and it's on. The whole basis of that program is about telling lies with a little bit of truth in it sometimes. The contestants sort of have to say things that may or may not have happened in their life, and the other team have to try and guess, is he telling the truth or is it a lie? Some of you of a certain generation might recall a television program similar to that called Call My Bluff. Remember that one? Yeah, avid viewing for us even as children. That I think Mum and Dad thought we might get an education with all these words that you're never ever going to hear or use again. But it was based around telling a lie, wasn't it? With one person telling the truth. Now, there's a lot of stuff that passes off for entertainment on the television, films and so on. It's all based around lies or being economical with the truth. Thinking, what about you cop dramas, crime shows and so on? You know, the murderer or the thief or the bad guy fools everybody, doesn't he, for a while? But then the hero, chief of police or whoever, finally figures it out, you know? Oh, just one more thing, Mrs. Jones. Those of you of a certain generation will remember. Again, I was only that big, but it was avid viewing, wasn't it, Columbo, in the 70s? Whole society seems to be based around telling lies or not quite telling the truth. Something else that came to my mind when I was thinking about this, pop group Dire Straits, lyrics in one of their songs, two men say they're Jesus, one of them must be wrong. I think you'll find both of them are wrong, aren't they? But it's just interesting sort of about telling lies. So we're surrounded by lies, but what do most people want to know today? The truth. They want to know the truth about lots of things. I've got a few things I've just jotted down here. I'm sure you will come up and think of a lot more. Global warming and climate change, what's the truth about that? Is it? Isn't it? What's the truth? Because everybody says different things. MPs' expenses. What's the truth about that? Apart from that they all spent a lot of money, of our money and so on duck houses and Kit Kat bars and things like that. A bit more serious. What about Jimmy Savile and all these other child abusers? What was the truth? What did go on in those children's homes in the 50s, 60s and 70s and so on? What's the truth? Dr. Kelly, did he really commit suicide? Remember him, all the going to Iraq war and so on? There are those who think he was murdered. One from not long after I was born, who killed JFK?
Wasn't me.
Wasn't me. I was only 12 days old, so it wasn't me. But even today, people want to know who shot JFK. What's the truth? The phone hacking scandal. Rebecca Brooks, Coulson. What's the truth about all of that? And how much will really come out in the courts, even though they've promised to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Interestingly, my team, my line manager and manager of the department, and guy I sit next to, all used to work at News International and had all dealt with Coulson. So they're finding all this very interesting. What happened to Maddie McCann? What happened there? And then, if you've ever had the misfortune to switch on the television and the Jeremy Kyle show is on, are you my real dad or not? All those kind of things, you know. Yeah, I soon get switched off or change channels if that's on. But sometimes it'd be compulsive viewing for a few minutes, where people want to know the truth about their family relationships or anything else. Is there a God? People want to know the truth. Is there really a God or not? Is the Bible true? Can it be trusted? And again, more recently, has anybody noticed the literature stand outside Letchworth Station recently?
Yeah.
Is there one outside Baldock Station? No, obviously not. He's looking blank at me. There are some outside King's Cross Station as well. They've been there for a few weeks. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, came out of King's Cross, went to walk up to work, and there's book stands out there. What does the Bible really say about Halloween? Okay. Haven't got time to stop and pick up a book and have a look at and see what is in there. A couple of days later, it was, what does the Bible really say? Well, I think I know a bit about what the Bible really says. It was interesting because in the first week, or so outside King's Cross, they were just there, and at Letchworth, just the stand was just there. But then I started to notice people just hanging around outside Starbucks opposite King's Cross. For those of you who know where it is, if you turn left out of King's Cross, you go across York Way, there's McDonald's, and then I think it's Starbucks or one of the coffee chains. A couple of people just hanging around outside there, and they were there every morning, and suddenly dawned on me what was happening. They weren't talking really to each other. They weren't really waiting. They were sort of glancing across all the time these literature stands. And that's when I realised what they were doing. They were waiting for anybody who picked one up and then walked by to then say, I notice you've taken one of our books. And it's the same at Letchworth. I noticed there's a little low wall by the bus stops just outside the station where a couple of people suddenly realised they were sat there every morning. So, and that's what they were doing. They're just watching for people to take the literature. So, who are they? Well, for more information, go to www.jw.org.uk. What does the Bible say about Halloween? What does the Bible really say? There they are, the Jehovah's Witnesses, trying to get people to see what does the Bible really say. I thought that was quite interesting because I just finished this book, 30 Years a Watchtower Slave, by William Schnell. It's a really interesting book. I recommend you borrow it. You can borrow this off me if you want to. It's one from Colin Buckland's library. The first one took a load of books, as I know some of you have done, from Mike, sort of from Colin Buckland's library. And this is the first one I read. And I found it very, very interesting. I couldn't put it down. You read it, it makes you realise how much Jehovah's Witnesses are lied to by their leaders. How much they take a verse of scripture and twist it round completely out of context to say something that it doesn't really mean. Very interesting book. They're selling a lie to their followers and to the rest of the world. Yet they stand and have books there with the big thing, what the Bible really says. what's the truth about Halloween and so on, when you know that what's in there, on the face of it, looks plausible, but when you actually get to see what's going on, it's lies. So, about time we looked at the truth, isn't it? Let's get back to God's word. Let's look. Got your Bibles open. Keep looking at 2 John. As I said, the word truth appears 5 times, or is implied in other ways too, in 2 John. In fact, the word truth appears more in more of John's writings than any other book in the Bible other than the Psalms. That's getting my crudens out and counting up for each one. Unbelievably, there are 18 references in John's Gospel alone, the word truth, plus those in his letters. And so there's only the Psalms that I think also has 18 references to the word truth in. So let's just look at verses 1 and 2 first of all. It starts off, "The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever." Now, there's a little bit of dispute about the chosen lady. It was probably John referring to a church, but it may well have been to a particular woman in the church. That bit is not clear from all the historical stuff you can find. Look in all the commentaries, and I've looked in 2 or 3, and they all say not quite sure what it is. But that doesn't matter. In what we're looking at today, John says he loves the lady and her children in the truth because of the truth. John says the truth can be known. Not only I, but also all who know the truth. And that the truth lives in us. The truth will be with us forever. So I start to think, what does John mean by the word truth in these verses? Well, how about we look at something else John wrote down, something that sheds a little bit of light on this. If you turn to John's Gospel and chapter 14 and verse 6, I probably don't need to actually give you the reference because a lot of you know this anyway. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So if you go back to 2 John, and I'll read those two verses again, verses 1 and 2 again. Bear in mind what we've just said. What we've just read. "To the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in Jesus, and not I only, but also all who know Jesus, because of Jesus, who lives in us and will be with us forever." Yeah, that makes a little bit more sense to you now, does it? What John might be getting at here? It isn't that it's how we should see our fellow Christians, how we should be living with Jesus in us. It's loving one another with the love of Jesus. That's how we should be. That's what John is trying to get here. It's one of John's themes, is about truth and using the truth, living in the truth and loving one another. Verses 4 and 6 take up this theme. If we just read those, that all who love Jesus, follow Jesus, should love one another. "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love." The first thing to notice is John is very pleased to find some of the children walking in the truth. Isn't that wonderful? Here he is, he's writing a letter, either to a church, or if it's to a particular woman in the church, he's really pleased to see her children are walking in the truth. It gives him a lot of joy to know that. In other words, they are living the Christian life. It's not an option to walk the Christian life, to live out the Christian faith every day. It's not an option. It's in fact an order from the Father. If you read these verses carefully, you'll see the two other words that feature prominently in this part of 2 John, and that is love and command. Both of which I think appear, I think command appears 4 or 5 times. So you see, this is what John is getting at. If we love Jesus and walk in his way, then we're to love our fellow Christians. And to do this requires obedience on our part to follow what God has commanded. But this obedience is not kind of a legalistic obedience. No, those who truly love Jesus delight to obey his commands. It's a delight to obey his commands. If you really love Jesus, being obedient to him is something you will want to do and enjoy doing and love doing. And that's one of the things, is to love one another. So, first challenge for us this morning is, do we delight to obey Jesus' command to love one another? Is it a delight to us to love each other? Now, many of you have known me for 20 years or more, and vice versa. Frightening, isn't it? We kind of know each other a bit by now. And I was thinking, actually, a few of you have known me for over half my life. Wow, isn't that amazing? Hi, Mick. Hi, Joy. Hi, Mary. Mike, Janet, Roger, Francis. Anybody else who was here when I first came? You came not long after me, yes, just after me, yeah. Yeah, well, that's right. No, not quite, no. International Man of Mystery or something like that. But I was thinking about this. Do I delight in loving you? Well, yes. And the love you have shown for me over the years is proof enough to me that you love Jesus enough for it to be a delight. Yet, we've all had days, haven't we, when we've perhaps made it difficult to love each other, when perhaps we've been upset or cross or just not with it on that particular day, and sometimes it's hard. But I hope I've been able to show Christ's love to you in equal measure as you've shown it to me, because it's been a delight. And let's not forget, it's because we know the truth, we know Jesus, we walk in the way that he wants us to, that makes it easy to love one another. Even this morning, you know when God gives you something to say, and you sat there, and suddenly God gives you something else in the middle. You might have seen me at the start, I was frantically scribbling something down that, again, just came to my mind as I sat there. How will people know that we're Christ's disciples? How will they know? All men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another, is the way it was put in one of the songs from sort of 70s or 80s. All men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one for another. That's how the outside world will know and see the love that we have for each other. It was interesting, wasn't it? Johnny came a few weeks ago, and one of the things that he said was that really stood out for him here, because he comes, what, 2-3 times a year, was the unusual love that he felt between one another in this church. So maybe I'm preaching to the converted here, but there we go. It's because we walk in the truth that we love one another. So the next challenge, maybe that was an easy challenge, because I'm such a lovable guy, aren't I? It's easy to love me, you know, really. The next challenge to all of us, can we show that same love to those who don't share in the truth? To our non-believing friends, family, work colleagues, neighbours, and those we find it hard to love. To show Jesus' love to those who rub us up the wrong way. To love that person at work who actually doesn't like you, even so far as hates you. To love that family member who betrayed your trust. To love that neighbour who's always making fun of your faith. You all know the kind of people I'm talking about, because you probably meet them every day. It was interesting watching the DVD, for those of you who were here for the 10 o'clock, about Joseph Scriven. And how he made it his life's goal to show Christ's love to those around him. And he'd only do it for those who didn't have anything, who couldn't pay him back. I just thought, it's interesting, when you want to do, every time I come to do something, standing up here at the front, something happens earlier in the day that ties in with what I've got to say. And that I just thought really tied in, that there was somebody who is doing that. He was loving people who perhaps were hard to love, and even just chopping wood for them. So let's turn back to 2 John. John warned us about a group of people, though, that we should be aware of. Verses 7 to 11 say this: many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. So that comes back to the bit about the lies, doesn't it? The deceivers that we mentioned at the start. So in this instance, who is John actually talking about? Well, it's there in verse 7. It's those who once walked in the truth, but they've distorted the truth about Jesus. The particular issue that John was addressing here was the lack of belief in the incarnation. And that's a bit of a theme of John, of 1 John as well, the previous letter. So that was the particular issue there. They'd started out in the truth, but sort of decided to twist it round and distort it. And John warns his readers that they should take care that they're not deceived. Verse 8 says, watch out that you don't lose what you've worked for. In other words, don't be taken in by a lie from those who claim to be more advanced thinkers. Those who've run on ahead. Those who claim they've had a special vision or a revelation. But when you put it up against the truth of God's word, it's shown to be a lie. You know, I mentioned the Jehovah's Witnesses earlier. I'm sure John's warning covers people like that as well. But here is referring to former church members who've deliberately set out to deceive their fellow Christians, who think they have a new gospel, a better gospel. Goes as far as to say such a person is the Antichrist. Strong stuff. Strong words of warning. John goes even further to say we shouldn't even allow such a person into our home. Many of you have had a Jehovah's Witness stand on the doorstep. You know, when you try and engage them, it can be very difficult, and you certainly should not really welcome them into your home. If you read this and other books about it, it'll give you some advice on how to deal with them. Because effectively what John is saying is when you allow such deceivers into your home, you're effectively giving credence to their work. You're sharing in their evil work. We have to make sure that we're not being deceived. So how can we do this? Well, what John says there, by walking in the truth at all times. You know, Sally used to work for NatWest Bank. Part of her job involved checking banknotes for forgeries, especially £50 notes. Don't know, has anybody ever seen a £50 note? I think I've seen about 3 in my entire life. I've only ever had one in my possession that was mine. One £50 note that I've actually had, that I can say I've seen. But how was Sally trained to check what the forgery looked like? real ones. Yeah, what they do in all banks, for those who will be handling the money on a day-to-day basis, they get them to count up hundreds, if not thousands, of £50 notes, genuine £50 notes. Yeah, keep looking at the truthful ones, the genuine ones, the real ones. They don't show them what a forged one looks like, because they get so used to what a real one looks like, when a forgery comes along, they will know instantly it doesn't look right. There's something wrong with it. And that's how they do it. And so that's how it should be with us. Let's read God's word. Let's read the truth. Let's learn it. Let's let it soak into our inner being. Surround yourself with others who know the truth. Study God's word together. I mean, I find it great here in the 10 o'clock, the way we can all sit and study, although it's mostly Derek, the fact that we can all chip in and learn off each other. I find it great that sort of, I have a lot of time for Derek and he's got so much Bible knowledge, yet sometimes some of the questions that he's asked is making him think, isn't it? And that's good, that we're bouncing things off each other, trying to find out the truth. We should know it inside out. So then when somebody comes along with a false doctrine, a false teaching, we'll know immediately that that's what it is, because we can check it against what the Word of God really says. That is how we can find out what is a lie and what's the truth. Read the truth every single day. So I guess to bring this to a conclusion, trying to come back to where we started, which was with the truth. Let's walk in the truth. Let the truth live in you, and let's love each other in the truth. And let's delight in loving one another. John must have really loved the person or the people he was writing to. If you look at verse 12, he says, "I have much to write to you, but I don't want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete." Let's remember, his joy was in the fact that he saw these children walking in the truth, and that filled him full of joy. But he's saying, "I want to come and meet you, then the joy will be complete. The love will be shared." Simply end with, let's follow their example. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for John, and that you inspired him to write these letters. And Lord, I want to thank you that we have the truth in Jesus. And I ask that you'd help us to continue to walk in the truth every day. Not just on a Sunday or when we feel like it, but every day. I pray you'd just help us to know you, to love you, to walk in your truth, and to delight in loving one another and sharing you with those who don't know you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.